So I ask you, does God speak to you? Actually, I take that back. Don't answer that question. Don't answer the question. There's no need to, because I already know the answer. The answer to the question is the same for all of us. The answer to that question for all of us is yes. God speaks to every one of us all the time. I make this assertion in confidence, despite the cynical observation once made by that great religious philosopher, Lily Tomlin, who said in one of her routines, "When we speak to God, it's called prayer. When God speaks to us, it's called schizophrenia." Well, Lily was absolutely wrong about that. Way too cynical. Make no mistake about it, God is speaking to you and to me, constantly communicating. And thank God. Thank God we worship a God who is desperate to communicate with us, to be in relationship, to comfort, support, give hope. And God knows we need it. There come times for all of us when we're in desperate need for a word from God. Maybe we're dejected, disappointed, despairing even, emotionally exhausted at the end of our rope. Maybe we're facing decisions or situations that we just find it impossible to navigate. We have all known such moments, and we know that we will know such moments again. Elijah would understand all this. He's been there. This great and courageous prophet was under attack by two of the most vile and notorious characters in all of the Hebrew Scriptures, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Elijah had taken a stand for justice and righteousness, and it would appear that he was about to pay the ultimate price for doing so. He was pursued by royal henchmen, so he fled into a cold, dark, lonely confines of a cave. A cave. Now, it's difficult for us to admit, but we know a little something about such empty, dark moments. We've all done our share of what I'd call spiritual spelunking in the confines of the caverns of life. Where does the light of hope come from in moments like that? Where do we look for it? And how are we going to be able to access it? Do we expect a crystalline, crystal clear, life-changing event that makes everything better all at once? Yes, we probably do. Because, after all, we are what's called humans. And it's only human nature to harbor hope like that it's all going to be made better instantly. And sometimes, in fact, it happens that way. But there's a spiritual danger lurking here if we expect that on a regular basis. We can be led to believe that to be real, to be really transforming, a spiritual experience has to be something huge, big, stupendous. And such accusations can be hazardous to our spiritual health. They can lead us into feelings of inadequacy and a sense of paralyzing self-doubt. Other people seem to be having powerful experiences, but not me. Years ago, there was this evangelist who came up with the idea of adding a medical school to the university that he had founded. On one of his television broadcasts, he told potential donors that he had just experienced a vision, a message to him from God. He said that he had encountered a 900-foot-tall Jesus who had talked to him personally. Build a medical school, the 900-foot-tall Jesus had said. Now that is a stupendous vision. Sure enough, the donors responded, a medical school was built, but it only lasted for 10 years before it closed. Now, if you're like me, if your spiritual life is more tuned to mine than that particular evangelist, you probably haven't encountered too many 900-foot-tall Jesuses in the last little bit. But what we all do have in common is this. More often than not, a message from God comes to us more like the one that came to the prophet Elijah rather than the one that came to that evangelist. Did you notice, by the way, how God came to communicate to the prophet Elijah? In Elijah's exhausted and enervated, defeated state, after he climbed a mountain and languished in a cave, how was it that God's word of hope, strength, came to him? Well, there was a mighty wind so powerful that it split rocks in two. There was an earthquake. There was a raging fire. But these stupendous experiences brought no sense of the Lord's sustaining presence to the beleaguered prophet. And after these awesome apparitions had passed, Elijah was prepared then to give up all hope. He huddled hopelessly in the dark, deep cave. But then, unexpectedly, he received something else. After the pyrotechnics, after the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire, Elijah discerned a sound of sheer silence. What's often translated, a still, small voice. That is when he found the strength to move forward. This, you see, was a quiet and gentle miracle. And that's what most miracles are. In the soft and silent urging of that still, small voice, Elijah found the strength that he needed to carry on. His problems hadn't gone away, but he found the strength and courage that he needed to face them. And you know that still, small voice speaks to us in our empty, lonely moments in the darkness. Sorrow, grief, uncertainty, fear, a sense of unworthiness, they wash over us. But even in times such as these, maybe especially in times such as these, God is calling. Because God so often comes to us in a still, small voice that we're somehow able to hear. And it is always a miracle. I was in New York City on the business of the parish I was serving when I got the call that my mother had died. And I absolutely could not believe it. In just the past few months at that time, my marriage had ended, my father had died, my younger sister, my only sibling, had died quickly 3 months after being diagnosed with cancer. And now this, on top of all that, how was I going to continue? Where was there a cave I could climb into so that I could just simply flat give up? Well, as a matter of fact, I did literally head underground right after the call came. I trudged down the cold, dank, dark steps of the subway so I could take the train back to my hotel and then begin the trip home. So there I was, with my grief, my feelings of failure, down in the dank, dark cave of the subway stop. And it was there. It was right there in the elongated, Elijah-like cavern of the subway that it all turned around. There were only about 8 or 9 people in the subway car when I got in. And we all did what New Yorkers do, shrouding ourselves in stereotypical isolation, anonymity, a degree of distrust. One thing we were scrupulously careful to avoid was any eye contact. You just don't do that on the subway. So when the doors opened at the 14th Street stop, a young woman and a little girl got into the car holding hands. They found 2 empty seats together and sat down, still grasping one another's hands. The door slammed shut, the train took off, rumbled on to the next stop. And there was an isolated silence as the car pulled to a stop and the doors opened to let the next passengers get on. And in the uneasy stillness of that quiet moment, the little girl squeezed the woman's hand even tighter. She looked up at her with sparkling eyes, and she spoke in a little perky voice that everybody in the car was able to hear. "I love you, Mommy." "I love you, Mommy." I raised my eyes from the newspaper behind which I'd been hiding, and I saw that I was looking into the open, loving faces of total strangers on the subway car. I saw open, joyous smiles in every direction, because we had just experienced, down there in the subway, something that was powerful and way beyond words. Something that was miraculous. We had heard the voice of eternal love, inexplicable, untranslatable, and full of hope. We had heard a still, small voice. And I still can't explain it. Lo, these years later, after all these years, the fierce, eternal power contained in the tremulous words of that little girl's voice to her mommy, it remains a mystery to me. All I know is that in her voice on that subway train that day, I heard the still, small voice of God. That voice contained and communicated all the strength and hope and love I would ever need for the rest of my life. God seemed to be saying to me in that moment, there is yet love in this world, even in this lonely, isolated cavern of a subway. Even in the dark, decaying subterranean cave that your soul seems to be stuck in right now, there is the possibility of new life. There is hope. There is strength. You can find the ability to carry on. The voice was speaking to Elijah in a cave in the dark recesses of the earth. The voice is speaking to each one of us, you and me, all the time, in the voices of other people and in a million other ways as well. So may we be given the grace to listen with the ear of our hearts for the voice that Elijah heard that day in the cave. the voice that is constantly speaking to us, the still small voice that God uses to give us the strength to carry on. Amen.